On behalf of the people of First Lutheran Church in Cheriton and Christ the Servant Lutheran Church in Corydon, I'd like to welcome you this morning to our Sunday morning broadcast. It is our prayer that this half hour will be a blessing to you. Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us hear Victory in Jesus.
Blood's atonement. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Crystal sea, about the angels singing, and that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw
The Gospel for this fifth Sunday of Easter, April the 28th, is from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace be unto you this morning from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Some of you may know the story of Dawson Trotman, founder of the Navigators, an organization originally begun with the goal of reaching men serving in the Navy. Trotman began to meet with a Navy man named Les Spencer, teaching him basic truths from the Bible. After a while, Spencer brought a friend from the ship to Trotman and said, "Dawson, I want you to teach him all that you have taught me." Trotman refused. He said, "I am not going to teach him. You are going to teach him. If you cannot teach him what I have taught you, then I have failed." So Les Spencer began to teach his friend, and the multiplication process began. Spencer's friend found someone else who wanted to be taught, and the process continued until on that one ship there were 125 men meeting every week for prayer and Bible study. Those men were shipped off to other ships and bases until at the height of World War II there were groups of believers started by these men on more than 1,000 ships and naval bases all over the world. Soon the FBI heard about these groups on the Navy ships with no name or charter, and it began to investigate. When they went to one participant to find out how they got started, he said, "I don't know. I met someone on another ship who started a group." So the FBI agents went to the person to question him, and then they referred to someone on another ship. The investigation went on for 3 months, until they were finally able to find the culprit who started the whole thing, Dawson Trotman. That's how the ministry of the Navigators began. I thought of Dawson Trotman this week as I contemplated the words of Jesus recorded in John's Gospel. "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might produce more fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Those are powerful words. In the first place, Christ tells us that we are to bear fruit. That is why we have been called together as a community. We are not here simply to enjoy one another's company. We are not even here solely to acknowledge God's sovereignty over our lives. Both of these are vital, but there is a third ingredient in the triad of faith, and that is that we are to prepare ourselves to bear fruit in the community. Jesus put it as poignantly as possible, "The barren tree will be thrown into the fire. What good is a grapevine without grapes? What use is a fig tree without figs? Tear it down, strip its branches, throw it into the flames." Nothing could be clearer than the principle we are to bear fruit. It is clear in the Gospels that Jesus admired those in the secular world who put this principle into practice. I was reading about Charles Schwab recently. He seems to have been born with an entrepreneurial spirit. As a young boy, he started out by picking up walnuts around the neighborhood, putting them into sacks and storing them at his house until he had enough to sell. Then at age 12, he graduated to running a small chicken operation. He had a dozen chicks by the time he was 13 and soon developed what he calls a fully integrated operation by offering eggs, fryers, and chicken fertilizer. Jesus said that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Why can't we have a spirit of drive and innovation within the body of Christ? Who says our church have become museums. We have what the world desperately needs. Wall Street doesn't have it. Madison Avenue doesn't have it. Even Yale and Harvard don't have it. We have it. We have the good news of Jesus Christ to share with the world. Why are we not bearing more fruit? Of course, bearing fruit is an individual responsibility, too. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy is parked in her psychiatric booth, and Charlie Brown is sharing his problems with her. Charlie says, "Sometimes I ask myself questions. Sometimes I ask myself, is this your real life, or is this just a pilot film? Is this like a 39-week series, or is it something special?" In no time at all, Lucy analyzes the problem and gives an instant answer. "Whatever it is, your ratings are down. 5 cents, please." Poor Charlie Brown. He senses that nothing much is happening in his life. Some of us may feel that way, too. We know our lives should be more vital, more productive, but somehow we cannot seem to get untracked. The solution to this dilemma is found in the second obvious truth from our text. Fruit-bearing is directly proportional to our relationship to the vine. The vine, of course, is Christ himself. Donald Gray Barnhouse cites an amazing example of lasting faithfulness. In Hampton Court near London, there is a grapevine under glass. It is about 1,000 years old and has one root which is at least 2 feet thick. Some of the branches are 200 feet long. Because of skillful cutting and pruning, the vine produces several tons of grape each year. Even though some of the smaller branches are 200 feet from the main stem, they bear much fruit because they are joined to the vine and allow life of the vine to flow through them. If we, the branches, are not bearing much fruit, it may be that we are not feeding as we ought upon the life-giving flow from the vine. That's true of a church. A cartoon in the Churchman magazine sometimes back showed a small boy standing before a very large church door and asking the minister in the doorway, "Is God home?" That is a relevant question for our church or any church. Is God home? Churches bear fruit in direct proportion to the number of people who find God within the worship, in the fellowship, in the service of the community which the church provides. But again, this is also true of individuals. Dorothy Franklin, a pastor's wife in York, Nebraska, notes that there was a considerable number of people chuckling one Sunday morning towards the close of the worship service, when her husband announced that in the interest of time, they were running short. They would only sing one verse of "Take My Time to Be Holy." That would be funny if it were not so sad. We need nourishment, spiritual nourishment, if we are to bear fruit. But there is another important truth in this text that concerns the process of pruning. Adversity and suffering are to be seen by the believer as a part of God's pruning process. In his book, Where is God When It Hurts?, Philip Yancey points out that the New Testament describes at least 5 ways in which suffering can yield spiritual growth. In essence, Yancey says that the role of suffering in our faith is that it turns us to God, when we might otherwise not have been willing to seek and receive God's help. This is not to say that if you are not on your way home this morning and a drunk driver crosses the highway and sends you to the hospital or morgue, that God is responsible. Jesus dispenses with that interpretation of life forever when he said that God sends his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Life happens. But for those who are connected to the vine, life is never meaningless. Each step of the way, whether pleasant or painful, is an event in disciple-making. Corrie ten Boom never lost her connection to the vine, even in Hitler's brutal concentration camp. She wrote, Often I have heard people say, "How good God is. We prayed that it would not rain for our church picnic, and look at the lovely weather. Yes, God is good when he sends good weather, but God was also good when he allowed my sister, Betsy, to starve to death before my eyes in a German concentration camp. I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there. Everything around us was dark, and there was darkness in my heart. I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us. No, Corey, Betsy said. He has not forgotten us. Remember his word. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is my steadfast love toward those who fear him." Corey concluded, "There is an ocean of God's love available. There is plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt the victorious love, whatever the circumstances." There is an aspect of faith that many of us fail to see. That is why we bear so little fruit. For the person connected to the vine, Christ, adversity, and suffering are to be seen as a part of God's pruning process. God is the ultimate judge of our fruit. It is he who decides what is to be allowed to flourish and what is to be thrown into the fire. For some of us, bearing fruit may simply be a kind word to someone who is hurting. Someone wrote a very painful letter to Anne Landers. "Dear Anne, last December, a pal of mine killed himself. Another friend attempted suicide 3 times in the past 14 months. I tried to take my own life a few years ago. We all had promising futures and financial security, but we lacked one thing, the ability to relate to others. I stopped wanting to kill myself when I realized my death would make a difference, that somebody really cared. If people want to help, they can. Here are a few things everyone can do. Smile more, even to people you don't know. Touch people. Look them in the eye. Let them know you are aware they exist. Be concerned about those you work with. Listen when they speak to you. Spend an extra minute. If someone has a problem, just listening means more than you will ever know. You could save a life without realizing it just by letting a person know somebody cares. What a great fruit. What a greater fruit can any child of God bear than the fruit of compassion and kindness? This then is the heart of the matter. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. Our job is to bear fruit. We are not to lose heart when time gets difficult. We are to offer those hard times to God and allow him to use them as an act of pruning that we might bear even more fruit in the days ahead. Only he is the judge of our fruit. A word of kindness, a deed of compassion, may be judged to be the best fruit of all. God be with you as you go about bearing fruit. Amen. Now let us hear when in our music God is glorified.
Oh,
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray this morning for the church around the world, for all ministers, and for the mission of the gospel. Cleanse our hearts with your word and help us to abide in you always. As we look at the nations and all in authority, we pray that you will guide them, that they might seek justice and peace, that it can reign among us. And for those who are in need, for any experiencing homelessness or unemployment, for those fleeing from oppression or seeking asylum, and for all who are ill or suffering, we pray, Almighty God, that you will walk with them. We pray especially this morning for Keith, John, Arta, Tom, Linda, Bill, Dolores, Brian, Harrison, Karen, Peyton, Deb, Lee, Brad, Linda, Geneva, Finn, Helen, Gayla, Riley, and all those that we name in our hearts. May your blessings bring healing and strength, the assurance of your presence at their side. Now guide those who are tilling the fields this morning and planting the seeds, that with the sun and the rain you will provide, that their efforts might abound with the blessings of the soil as we seek to feed the hungry around the world. Now with thanksgiving for the saints who rest in their labors, help us, like them, to bear much fruit and to become your disciples. And at the last, bring us to that heavenly banquet where all will feast together at your table. Now into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love, through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. And let us pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, Almighty God, the giver of resurrection power, with Christ our unending joy, and with the Spirit who shares the wonder of Easter, may your blessings abide with us this day and always. Amen. Our broadcast this morning was sponsored by friends in the Des Moines area. We thank them for their sponsorship and pray that Almighty God will continue to bestow upon them his grace and wonderful blessings. Thank you for your sponsorship this morning. And we thank all of you for listening. We hope you will join us every Sunday here on KIK Radio at 10:30 a.m. that we might share God's word together. If you'd like to worship with us in person some Sunday, join us at 9 a.m. at First Lutheran Church in Sheraton, or at 11 a.m. at Christ the Servant Lutheran Church in Corydon. We'd love to welcome you and meet you. Come and join us some Sunday. It's been our pleasure to share this half hour with you, and we hope you will join us every Sunday here on KIK Radio. As we close our morning broadcast today, let us do so with Let Us Go Rejoicing.
And now we have set forth.
house.